I want to also recognize and appreciate a wonderful couple who are in our midst, people that we've known for upwards of, in 1 year's time, it will be, sorry, that's wrong. I've known them for 13 years. Yes, 13 years. Hallelujah. I was surprised to see them just strolling this morning without warning. Amen. Hallelujah. Please let me appreciate Mr. and Mrs. Kola Adams. Please, can you please just stand up so that they will see you? Amen. Hallelujah. So good to see you. You'll be members of the same assembly for quite a long time. Good to have you. Good to see you. Thank you for coming along. Amen. Well, before I start teaching this morning also, another man of God just walked in. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how many of us know him. Okay, he's a publisher and editor-in-chief of Today's Music Africa. He's a well-known gospel artist, a minister of the gospel, also widely traveled. And he was just a blessing to us shortly, recently, a few months back, just before we moved. Please let me welcome Reverend Faith Ajiboye this morning. God bless you, sir. Thank you for coming on. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. We want to round up and then start. Round up and start. So I don't know how else we can describe that. Amen. We've been looking at things that accompany salvation, and we want to share something along that line this morning. We've looked at the issue of service in the house of God. We looked at the issue of honor. Why is it important to honor what God honors? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. The Bible says, "They that honor me will I honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." We looked at what happened to the ministry of Jesus in Mark chapter 6, from verse 5, where the Bible says that, "And he could there do no mighty works, and he marveled because of their unbelief." And we said unbelief is a manifestation of dishonor, that where Jesus wasn't honored, even though it was the power of God on two legs, he wasn't able to minister to the people, not because God didn't want to bless them, but because they didn't honor, that they didn't receive him. And throughout the scriptures, we see certain principles that would remove religion from your thinking. People are fond of saying, God can do whatever he wants to do. That is true, but it's not complete truth. God can do whatever he wants to do when he finds people that are willing and are obedient. Wherever people are not willing or obedient, God is limited in what he can do. Psalm 78 tells us that the children of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. God had told them, "You are going to the promised land." But they spent all night crying, "We will not go." And they didn't go. You know, we just did all night believers meeting. They did all night crying. Numbers of 13. That's what they did all night. That they cried all night. And they didn't enter into the land. They limited God. So it's important to see that Jesus is the clearest manifestation of God in existence. He came to a town, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and he couldn't do any mighty works because the people dishonored him. So we said it's very important for us to receive ministers in the name of which God has called them. With regards to the assignment, it helps them to be able to deliver and to minister in the dimension to which God has called them. It's so important. So sometimes in meetings that take place, people say things like, "You know, that minister is not anointed." A lot of times because people didn't receive him properly. If he was properly received and he's called of God, he will be able to minister and be a blessing the way it's supposed to be. Well, I said Hebrews chapter 6, which has been our anchor text. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read from verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4. The Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift," Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4, "and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good of the God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes often upon it, and brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we said things that accompany salvation. We looked at service important, that you're saved to serve, and that your value in the kingdom increases with your devotion to service. We looked at the issue of honoring what God honors. The assembly of the saints should be honored, should be respected, should be regarded. The ministers of God should be treated with great consideration. The Bible says, let the elders that rule well, let them be counted worthy of double honor. The Bible says, those who rule over us, we should esteem them very highly for their work's sake. So we looked at that. But this morning, I want us to bring us back to a certain foundation, because in counseling people, both people within the church and outside the church, I have discovered that if the foundations be destroyed, there's nothing the righteous can do. There are certain foundations that we need to visit. Service is foundational. Honor is foundational. Ministering to people, serving others is foundational. Now, one of the things we want to look at is also foundational, which is the principle behind confession. We say it, but most of the time when in Word of Faith circles, if you're not familiar with Word of Faith circles, if we say confession, the first thing that comes to the average person is confession of sin. And after confession of sin, they don't know of any other kind of confession. And that becomes the problem, because it's the, so to speak, our lifeline of the gospel. Go with me to Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I trust God to help me to be as practical as possible, because some of the things I'm about to teach, I must submit to you, it took me a while to find out. It doesn't have to take you that long. But the day I began to practice, the changes I saw, I kicked myself. And the reason why I kicked myself was that I have been so stupid. I've been so slow. Oh my God. The things I began to experience, I was like, I have been asleep. You know, you can be a Christian and be comatose. You know what I mean? You can be a Christian and be comatose for 10 years. May that not be your case in Jesus' name. Comatose means that you are in a stupor. No progress. You don't know, and you're not really experiencing victory, but you're a Christian. No victory whatsoever to speak of, but you're a Christian in name. You know what you'll be doing? You'll be waiting for Jesus to come back. That he will soon come and take me away. That's not the reason why you got saved. He saved you so you will live in dominion and victory. Colossians chapter 2, are you there? Verse 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 6 again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Remember one of the fundamental principles of interpreting scriptures. If you find the word therefore, you need to find out what's therefore. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So the emphasis here is this: how did we receive Christ Jesus? Because the next scripture says, continue walking in the same way you received him. How did you receive him? If you don't know how you received him, you won't understand what it means to continue to walk in him. In fact, it says, as you have received him, which is, there is a particular practice. There was a system that was in operation. There was a principle you stepped upon or you practiced to receive Christ Jesus. So you say, in the same way you received him, it says, walk in him or continue with him. It says, rooted and built up in him, established in your faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Understanding this verse of scripture brings something to light. One of these is this: the reason why people are not thankful is because they are not abounding and they don't continue. They've tasted, they are in Christ, but they are no longer walking in him. To be in Christ and to walk in Christ are two different things. To be in Christ simply means you're a member of the family. To walk means that you are participating or you are living the life. So it says, continue to live the life, rooted and built up, established in your faith, you will abound in it with thanksgiving. So if there is no thanksgiving, it is safe to say you have not continued the way you started. So how did you start? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. How did you start? Romans chapter 10. As simple as it seems, it's extremely important. This is how we are meant to continue. Sometimes you want to hear nice sounding things, the greatest revelation, yet the most important things are foundational. If you miss it in the foundation, whatever you build on top is going to come crashing down. It won't work. Romans chapter 10, from verse 6. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if, conditional, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 is where we're going. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So in your heart, people believe. But do you know there are many people who believe that Jesus is Lord? The average churchgoer believes Jesus is Lord, but the average churchgoer is not necessarily saved. The Bible says, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here's what the scripture is teaching. Even though the heart can believe unto righteousness, the mouth must still confess before salvation manifests. It takes the mouth to confess before there's a manifestation of salvation. Salvation is the end result. So believing is half of the journey. Believing doesn't mean you have the manifestation. In fact, the Bible says, the devils also believe and they tremble. They believe, but they don't confess Jesus as Lord. The Bible says, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As simple as that is, it seems to be the weakest principle that Christians have been able to practice. When I say weakest, now, among Christians, if we take a survey, confessing unto salvation is how we came into Christ. We came into Christ by confessing unto salvation. Now the Bible says, as you have therefore received, how did I receive? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I rose again. I confess him as Lord. I experience salvation. I am changed. I become born again. That's how I received him. The Bible now says that as you have therefore received him, so walk ye in what? Him. Every other thing I will receive in Christ operates by the same principle. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. That's the principle. I don't fully understand why, but I've discovered that it's easier to get Christians to come together to pray for 3 hours and 5 hours than to get Christians to confess for 2 minutes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Than to get Christians to confess for 2 minutes. Secondly, if you will notice, one of the things that the enemy has done with the word of faith and lives of people is he has devalued the importance of words. Fabricated words. Entwined within our vocabulary every day are curses and curse words and words that lack power, so that we will not realize the importance of words. But the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth and gave us 27, 28, 29 verses concerning how God set the world into creation. God said and God saw, and God said it was good. God said and God saw. God said and God saw. God said and God saw. Have you ever thought about it? The whole of Genesis chapter 1 could have been summarized. And God said, "Art be," and the heart was. What was God trying to establish? The principle of repetition was to convey a particular thought to us that everything God wants to see, God says it first. Everything God wants to see, God says it first. Now, if God shows us that principle, that's how he operates, and we have the same Father, he is our Father. How did we come into Christ? We believe with our heart, and we say with our mouth. Everything God said, there are things that God believed. And Bible says, God said, let that be light. And there was light. Light was first of all in God's heart. He believed it. And then God said it. Now, the principle therefore is this. If I'm in Christ now, every other thing that God has given to me through Christ Jesus will come by the same principle of I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth. That's one of the reasons why this principle has been so much ridiculed. What is there? Why are you confessing? When I say I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, when I say greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, what am I doing? I'm releasing God's ability with every single statement I make. That's what I'm doing. But to the average person, it means it's foolishness. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. In fact, in the Greek, it says the just shall live by his own faith, which means you can't live by my own faith. You can only live by your own faith. How does faith come? You believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. So we get it right in believing with the heart. In confessing with the mouth is where we have a problem. Hallelujah. How many of us believe God can do all things? There's no problem. How many of us will declare that God can do all things? If I call you out, do you believe that God can give you a house in the next 6 months? Well, Pastor, you see, the thing is, now, why are you hesitating? It's too big for you to say. The first time I heard this statement, I, you know, I just, you know, a lot of times when you heard older ministers of God, you may even, you can't handle it yet, so you leave it somewhere. Then after a while, you come back and pick it. Ibn Abu said one time, I listened, he said, whatever is too big for your mouth to say, is too big for your hand to handle. Whatever is too big for your mouth to say, is too big for your hand to handle. Think about it. So you understand that we're not just talking about just speaking into empty air. If there are things that God has given you and God has said in His word, notice even if you say in your heart, you are visualizing it and you're believing it. Notice the hesitation always comes when it comes to saying it. That's where the problem usually is. The hesitation comes when it comes to time to actually what? To say it. If I say, how many of us can write down on a piece of paper now and say, in the next 1 year, I'll be living in my own house? You know, you can write anything you want to write. But when we now say that, please submit those pieces of paper, we're going to take account. Many papers may be missing. And many names may not be found. Because we said we're going to take account, which is we're going to actually study to see who and who we have it in 1 year. But do you know, getting you a house in 1 year is a small thing for God. He fed people for 40 years without fail. You know what means to feed somebody people for? He fed 3 million people for 40 years without fail one day. There was no fail one day. Not only that, it was such a consistent miracle that he told them on the seventh day, don't gather anything. On the sixth day, gather enough to last the seventh day. You know, as it was then, so it is now. Some people still disobeyed the instruction. Some still went out to gather to see, but no manna fell. And those that gathered more than enough for a particular day during the week, the thing got rotten. Why? Everything was being sustained by the word of God. He did it for 40 years. He covered them from the sun. Listen, the scripture that says the sun shall not smite your day, it's not just scripture. It was a reality for the Israelites. The sun wasn't smiting them. A cloud covered them from the sun. A cloud shield, and it was for 40 years. You know what it means to wake up in the morning and see a pillar of fire, and everybody, both old and young, saw it. It was a continuous miracle. Why did God do that? To show us there is no limit to God's ability. The only limitation is in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. That's one of the reasons why we are fought tooth and nail when it comes to the principle of declaring God's word. That's why we made it a practice in the assembly. Because if you are going to be schooled to enter into the deep things of God, you can't without the words of your lips. With the heart, a man must believe unto righteousness. It is with the mouth he makes a declaration unto his salvation. I can't be totally free except I declare my freedom in Christ Jesus. The freedom is already there. It's waiting for me to activate it. How do I activate it? I must confess it before it becomes a reality. If I don't confess, it doesn't become a reality. That's how it becomes a reality. God is not one who is putting the limitation to how much you can have. You are the one putting the limitation because you are not confessing unto manifestation. You are not declaring unto manifestation. So you are the one who is putting a limit on it. Hallelujah. As you have therefore received, continue in Him. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Even your everyday Christian testimony, why are we subject to mood swings? Today I'm down, tomorrow I'm up. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You know, in my own house, every side is right. Both left side, the bottom, every part is right. There's no bad side of the bed. But some people wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And you're depressed today, you're up tomorrow. Now, when we begin to teach the principle and to declare God's word, to the natural man, it sounds like foolishness. You are saying you are the righteous of God in Christ. Are you really right? Yes, I am. Do you do everything perfectly? No. Then why do you say you are the righteous of God? Yeah, because the Bible says I am. He who knew no sin was made to become sin for me. And I might be made the righteous of God in him. That's what the Bible says. If I have been made, I have been made. Being made the righteousness of God and experiencing are two different things. What's the difference between being made and experiencing? The confession of my lips. I will never see what God has said except I say what God has said. And that's where the fight is. In fact, that's the fight of faith. Pastor Dolu shared something really this morning. He talked about fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And the first thing the average person thinks about is fighting the devil. No? The devil is the last part. The first thing to fight is your own renewed mind. And your thinking. And our thinking and the things that come to our mind every single day. We want to worship God. We want to come into God's presence based on the way we feel. But God is not a feeling. Hallelujah. God is spirit and is truth. That means whether I feel like, I don't feel like, the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I can boldly say. So I can be in a bus traveling and Everything around me speaks of danger. But he said, I will never leave you. I can't pray, oh God, come down, when he has already come down. Hallelujah. If I say, God, come down, and I'm standing in the bus, I'm speaking against Christ, because that's Antichrist. That scripture says, don't say in your heart, who shall come down? Who shall ascend up to heaven to bring Christ down from heaven? Who shall descend to bring Christ up again? What is the answer? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. If you will believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Which means, therefore, that the only reason why I can say or confess or declare the things I want to declare is because God has already said so. My confession is proof that God is not a liar. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? My confession is proof that God is not a liar. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be what? Afraid. So I'm still in the bus. Even when it looks as though the driver is drunk, it doesn't change the fact that the Lord is my help. Do you notice there's no conditional clause in that scripture? The Lord is only your helper if you're in a safe bus. The Lord is only your helper if you don't travel to certain areas of the country. The Lord is only your helper as long as you stay inside your house. No. We are the ones who put the conditions there. The conditions are not there. The Lord is my helper. I will not be what? Afraid. When he's helping, and I'm sure he's helping, it is my own responsibility not to be afraid. How do I get to a place where I won't be afraid? I must say it. Hallelujah. Fear will naturally come. It will want to come. How do I stop it from manifesting? I must say the Lord is my helper. Is the Lord my helper? Yes. That's already a reality of the spirit. I want to move it from the invisible realm to the visible realm. What is the bridge between the invisible and the visible? The confession of my lips. For I confess unto salvation or manifestation. That's what the Bible teaches. So, here I am. Things are not going well in my place of work. I have a business. It's not really picking up. Here's what the average Christian does. We resign ourselves however the wind blows. Then, if you make the mistake of listening to the news, have you noticed that there has been no good news in the news recently? It's more than recent. It has been like that for a long time. Have you noticed? So you just read the news and then you see, whether they put obituary or not, people are dying. So you don't need to read the obituary pages. People are still what? Dying. 24 died in so and so, 35 died in so. That's what is the news. And then so and so party, that's the ruling party who is fighting, ruling. You know what I mean? Ruling party is fighting. So you can't place your confidence in leadership of the nation. You have to place your confidence in the invisible leader of this nation, our Father God. So here is your business. If you make the mistake of relying solely on the economy of the nation, you are finished. Why? It will affect the confession of your lips. You know, business is not really picking. People are not really, really making their hair again. You know, you just lied. Is there a weekend in Lagos that people are not getting married? Is there a weekend? Is there a weekend in Lagos that people don't eat? I mean, people are stuck in traffic till 12 a.m. in the morning and they'll still go for party on Saturday. Lagosians. They must do party. Halls or event centers are still making money. They will tell you there's no money. Have you ever been to the airport? Even on a weekday? You know, people going on international flights. Do you know how much it costs to go on international flights? But they'll keep telling you. In fact, the person on the queue saying, there's no money. In fact, and you're like, ah, there's no money. Where are you going? With what you are holding. And it's trapped. So when people say, it's because it has been inculcated into our culture to say there is none. And that's why it keeps diminishing. We have schooled ourselves. We are just managing. May God help us. No. God has helped you. You see, it sounds good, but that's why we're not making much progress. We have taken certain things from them, and we come from a different place. The Bible didn't say you will get prosperous, or you'll prosper, or you'll be rich, according to the world's economy. It said, according to the riches of his glory in Christ, my God shall supply. Philippians 4:19. All of your need. Did he say some? Next time you read it, underline all. All means all, less none. All means one, all, less none. That means everything that is called need in your life, my God shall supply. What is God depending on to supply? The riches of his glory that are where? in Christ Jesus. Paul calls it unsearchable. There's no account in this world yet that's yet unsearchable. Every account has a limit, even the richest man in the world. That's why they name a figure. The account of Jesus, there's no figure. The figure does not exist in man's vocabulary. We have, I think, is there something like zillion? Is there any other alphabet after Z? Because you can't fathom it. You need to travel to the eternities. So get to the end. No, listen. Even within the economy, I'm talking about the God who caused ravens to feed a prophet. You don't know what it means to get a raven to feed. Ravens are the most stingy birds in existence. They don't even feed their own. For a raven to feed Elijah was a serious miracle. And not only did he feed, he brought meat. He didn't eat the meat. Something stopped the raven from eating the meat. You don't know that. Your father's fingers are very long. His legs are very long also. A raven. That's the bird that left the ark and didn't come back. You don't understand. A raven is selfish. And God had other birds. A dove, you could have sent a dove. You could have sent an eagle. He sent a raven to prove a point. I can get supplies to you by all means. I can cause people to come to you. See, I have heard that happen to people over and over again. I don't even know why I'm helping you. Just take this check. They don't have to know why. You know why. For my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. His riches are in glory. You can't estimate how much is in glory. It's beyond the comprehension of natural mind. That's what he will supply. And that's what he gets supply from. He doesn't get it from the economy. And he has limitless ways of getting across to you. The Bible says they were examples. Elijah was an example of how God can get certain things across to you. According to his own soul. He has infinite ways of doing it. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. But what's the issue? Your vocabulary has to change. And that's where the fight of faith is. For your vocabulary to change. Because there are things you have been schooled to say. That you even say unconsciously. Honestly, I'm very tired. In fact, I'm feeling very sick. All your cells are listening. Your cells, your tissues. Then your organs. Then your system. And you are sending a signal. Shut down, shut down, shut down. You say, well, Pastor, I'm only saying the truth. No, you just lied. Who is himself bore our sins, his own body on the cross, that we being dead to sin may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you are healed, then you are healed now. You know, in light of scriptures, I'm not saying you are lying deliberately. I'm saying you are lying unconsciously. And because you are doing it unconsciously, you will also unconsciously be sick and you unconsciously fail. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's unconscious, yes. But now you need to turn it around and do it consciously. We don't speak to please men. We speak to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Which means that every time I say things that are contrary to what my father has said, we are not on the same page. And because we are not on the same page, the provisions are meant to come. I am stopping them from coming. I am the one stopping them from coming. Let's be sincere with ourselves. How many times have we worked on a faith project? I mean, it has happened to me many, many times. I went to go and do a check. Something is wrong. Why is it this long? And I've discovered that I was good maybe for 1 week. I was strong, sound, for 1 week. And then the week after, somebody asked, how do you locate yourself? When somebody asks you, Sijadiola, how far with the car? Hey, may God just help one. This country is so difficult to buy a car. But you have been saying that God will supply. And your car is already on the way. Somebody now asks you a week after. Every time you say something contrary to what you were saying before, something has happened to the supply of your faith. Your confession is no longer in line with how you. So keeping your confession consistent is the greatest work that a believer can do. Anybody can come to church and declare. You know, you speak Christianese. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. When you're in church, it's well. Well, the Lord is our helper. That's not a problem. It's when you get outside that we want to know whether he's really your helper. That's actually when the rubber meets the road, whether you can see the same thing. when things are not going the right direction, when the wind is blowing differently. And that's where the test of faith is. If I believe in my heart, I must confess with my mouth. My confession shows the condition of my heart. That's what it does. If it doesn't line up with God's word, my words are stout against God, which means they are stopping God's power from flowing. That's what it's stopping God's power from flowing. That's what my confessions are doing. And my confessions are meant to cause God's power to flow. If I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, there will be a manifestation. Because I am now partnering with God's ability concerning my life. I'm saying what God has said. Yet the greatest pressure comes from our environment and from individuals who want us to say what we are seeing. But there is no life and no strength and no victory in saying what you are seeing. Your victory lies in saying the unseen. The riches of God in Christ Jesus, they are unseen, but they are there. And they are more real than what you are seeing. Hallelujah. They are more real than what we are seeing. Much more real. You have house rent to pray in January or March. What should you start doing now? If you start saying there's no money now, there will be no money in March. What should you start saying? You go to God's word. What has he said concerning your finances? What has he said concerning your house? What has he said concerning taking care of you? This is God that said, not an ear of your head shall fall to the ground that he doesn't know about it. He said, even the ears of your head, they are numbered. What does that mean? It means when number 5,064, when it falls, God knows. 5,644 has just fallen down. God knows the exact number. You don't even know the number, but he knows the number. That means he's particular in detail about everything that you need. It's particular. The details are there. I heard this testimony one time. Said somebody came for healing of the arthritis in her knees. She had arthritis, and I think she had this continuous cough. So after they ministered to her, she was healed of the arthritis. You know, said, you are going. How about the cough? He said, well, I can manage that one. Do you know that's what believers do? He said, but the power that healed you from arthritis can heal you of this cough. But you know, in her mind, she didn't come to be healed of the cough. She felt she could manage. Why must you manage evil? He said, I can manage this one. As long as you can manage the situation, your confessions won't work. As long as you feel you can get by with that situation the way it is, the power of confession cannot be fully released into your life. Proverbs chapter 12. It's a reschooling entirely, really. We need to school ourselves back. And one of the ways we're going to school ourselves is we're going to have written confessions. It's so important. Thank God that we take confessions every Sunday. But we have to have written down confessions. Things that you are saying. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 12. Let's read verse 14, verse 14. It says, are you there? All right. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Let me read it again. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Look at verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. So, if you link the two together, what is verse 14 saying? Verse 14 is simply amplifying what verse 13 says. He says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Interpretation, how will the just come out of trouble? He shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his lips, and then the recompense of his hands will be given unto him. Let me interpret that in modern English. My hands are not empowered to fully carry out activities of prosperity when my mouth is silent. Let me say that again. My hands are not empowered to carry out activities that will bring prosperity when my mouth is silent. There is a heart, mouth, and hand connection. I am able to bring forth the prosperity of God with my hands when my mouth is active over the work of my hands. Notice that verse 14 again. A man shall be satisfied with good. So good doesn't just come. It doesn't come by wishful thinking. Good comes by the things that my mouth is constantly declaring, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. So here's what happens. A man is doing much. He is not seeing much. What does that mean? It means the recompense of his hands are not being given to him. What is the problem? It's not that he needs to do more work. That's what the natural mind says. I need to do more. If the people who are working the hardest are the richest. Bricklayers should be richer than everybody. Hallelujah. Bricklayers should be richer than every person. Those who work 8 hours, 10 hours a day, doing menial jobs, they should be richer than everyone. But the Bible says the recompense of man's heart. So if that scripture is failing, it's because the A part has not been accomplished. A man shall be satisfied with good by the words of his lips. Which means that as the word of my lips are released over the work of my hands, the work of my hands is able to produce what is meant to produce. So here I am, I have a shop, I have a business, I have an enterprise. What am I meant to do? It is this principle that people on the other side, when I say on the other side, I'm talking about the wicked. It's this principle that they got. You know, Satan has never created anything. He only duplicates whatever God has done. And he just does the opposite side. So here's what people have done. People go to herbalists, witch doctors, you know, and then every time you go and you want to be empowered, you want to become wealthy, you want to, you're talking to them about progress and the work of your hands, you want to become rich, that things are not going very well. There is no herbalist you will go to, no witch doctor that you will visit, that will not either give you something that you are leaking or rubbing or using to bait. And most of the time they will give you something that you need to declare certain things. What are they doing? They just copied God. Even to get the power of darkness to work, you need to say something. Hallelujah. My question is this: why are you not using your own? Why are you not leaking something every morning? Listen, it is wrong for you to tell people not to leak something when you won't give them something better to leak. The one that they are leaking, we had sorrow, but the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. He had no sorrow with it. What they've given them will lead to destruction. What you are given by God will lead to life. Now, we have so much, we lose so little. They have so little, they use everything they have. They are making progress. It will be short-lived, but you will see certain things. We have so much that we give us perpetual progress we're not using at all. Which means that you are designed by God to wake up in the morning with something in your mouth. Hallelujah. Something ought to be in your mouth. Every morning. Every single morning. Don't go to work with lips quiet. Challenges will come up in your office. Other places, particularly if you're involved in buying and selling. And you say, these goods are not moving. I don't know why they are not moving. You should be the center of change. That when I get there, it will start working. Why? There are things I will say. I'm a minister of God unto good things. You are meant to minister certain things to the work of your hands to get it to move. I think it's the law, first law of motion, physics. It says an object, who is a physicist here? It stays in one position. You know, some of those laws, when I understood them, I said, you didn't use my language. You had used my language, I would have gotten it a long time ago. And someone said the first law of motion, the law of gravity. He just sat under a tree and pronounced a law. Who doesn't know that if... every object will continue state of motion except an external force is what? Applied. So if I put a ball here and there's no wind blowing, it will stay there until I kick it. Who doesn't know that one? But you didn't know enough to propound your own law. But somebody saw it. But here's what we're saying. We want things to move, and the Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. I'm not part of the wicked one. So good is not coming. You are not doing anything. You can go from one vigil to the other until you do what is required. By the words of your lips, the recompense of your hands will be given unto you. It's through your lips that the first motion comes. The push that's required, first of all, comes from what you are saying. If you don't say the right things, it won't move from where it is. I told a lady, they're not members of this church, but she came for, and she has a fashion outfit, and things were not really going fine. And I told her, when you get to the shop, collect the keys from your assistant. You go to the shop first. Do this for 2 weeks. She didn't even spend 2 weeks. By the first week, everything changed. Get to the office, lock the door, pray in the spirit, thank God, open the door, and say from the east and the west and the south, they are coming. For the glory of God is risen upon me and my business. Therefore, the wealth of the Gentiles is coming. She didn't have people who were studying under her. People started coming from everywhere. The first time she invited us to come for the graduation, when I saw the number of people, this was somebody whose business was grounded. In that sense, it was waiting for her to speak. Now, like I said, if I call you and say, you know what, Sister Bimbo, come for deliverance so that your work of hands can go forward. They will run. They will come. But you know one of the things I do? Over time as a pastor, if you come and see me, and I notice that everything you're saying is negative. Sometimes people think that maybe they don't know what I'm doing a lot of times. But let me tell you what I'm doing so that you, when I do it to you, you understand. Hey, why is pastor walking and he's talking? I'm getting you to move out of where you are. I locate where you are by the things you say to me. Pastor, in fact, I'm really, really tired. Nothing is really working in my life. I've not had a promotion for so and so and so. Everything you're saying is locating you. I know the word is not abiding. And I need to get the word to abide. So I tell you, follow me. Say in the name of the Lord Jesus, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. The grace of God is working in my life. The work of my hands are effective. The Lord my God teaches my hands to profit. I have an effective. I'm asking to follow me. As we are walking and we're walking, something is happening to your mind. Gradually. I first want to get you to reposition in your mind first of all, because you are standing against God's word. There's no prayer I'm going to pray for you when the way you came that will work. And I know. Then you will now live as if that man is not anointed. What's the problem? You are standing against God's word. There is nothing, there's no anointing that can change you except we move you out of that place. So I get you to confess what you have not done before. But that's just to jumpstart you. So that when you go back home, you learn to talk like that. Oh, hallelujah. Oh yeah, you learn to talk like that. That's how you learn to talk. How do you think? What do you think I do concerning church people, church members? When I know the work you do or not is not the issue, I'm confessing over your business. That the enemy will not. Many times God will show us a revelation. So and so is going to happen. Thank God for the revelation. But when there's revelation, what are you meant to do? The Bible says, no evil shall befall you. Either shall any plague come near your dwelling place. The average Christian thinks it's automatic. It's not automatic. You take it. You put it upon your lips. This is my portion. And you declare it. So if you are not declaring those things, you won't see manifestation. Hallelujah. Sometimes there are good things on television. Amen. There are good things. Not everything on television is bad. Yesterday I was watching Sony Max. Some of you are looking. The pastor watches Sony Max. Yes, I do. And there's this program called Most Daring. And they were showing people, I think the subtitle is Fighting Back, something like that. And I saw something that amazed me. Really amazed me. Most of the time, the kind of things they show are not really godly, but what they showed yesterday, I was blessed. They were showing people who had stores, who had businesses, and people came to attack them, try to steal from them, and things like that. And they showed a particular woman. And a man came in wearing a mask with a gun, pointed at her face and said, give me all your money. I was shocked that a woman. I was shocked. I mean, they assured other people that they just opened the cash machine and gave everything. Just go, you and your gun. But this man had the gun pointed in her face. Somebody else was standing beside her. And when the man said that, give me everything, the woman looked at the man and pointed in his face. In the name of Jesus, leave my shop. In the name of Jesus, get out of this place. I bind. The man was there. And he walked out. The narrator, the person was doing the narration or anything, said that the woman didn't depend on a gun or a stick, but on a superior firepower. Oh God. These are not believers. The person doing the narrating is not even a believer. You understand? But the person recognized that the woman depended on a superior firepower. She kept pointing at him, said, in the name of Jesus, leave my shop. And the man started backing out. And he left. He couldn't even shoot. He was confused. The question is, can the name of Jesus work for you? You remember, God is no respecter of persons. So God doesn't have more value for that woman than you. She just used what she had. That was all she had. She didn't have a gun. Obviously, there was no alarm system in her shop. But there was a greater security. For the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe forevermore. That's what she used. I was like, on Sony Max, Most Daring. He said, in the name of Jesus, leave my store. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. The man's gun was still pointed and he started going down. And then he was walking backwards until he ran out. The customers looked at the woman, they were amazed. What a testimony. She believed in her heart. She confessed with her what? Mouth. That's where the secret is. As we round up, look at Proverbs 18, please. Proverbs 18, are you there? Proverbs 18 and verse 20. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with what? Notice this belly. And with the increase of his lips, shall he be what? In modern English, the more the words increase upon your lips, the greater the satisfaction. The more the words of your lip increase, the greater the what? Satisfaction. You really cannot move to any threshold of faith without the words of your lips. In fact, your faith can never arise beyond your confession. That's why confession is so important. Run and go for a deliverance over a bad habit. Deliverance is a cheap, easy way. It doesn't mean it won't come back. You can be delivered from demonic oppressions and demonic entanglement. Believe me, you can never be delivered from the work of the flesh. There's no deliverance that can be done for the work of the flesh. The Bible says, crucify the flesh. What's the fastest way? Never allow people to give you a set of rules. You will see more. What's the first way? Confession must be done to what? Salvation. I ministered salvation to somebody years back when in the battle. And it was somebody who was used to smoking. So he told me, Pastor, will I have to stop smoking? I said, no. Just accept Jesus. That's the gospel. Bible doesn't say, go and tell people, stop drinking so that Jesus can save you. No, no, no. If Jesus needs him to stop drinking before Jesus will save him, what's the point? Say, if I stop smoking, will Jesus save me? If you can stop smoking, you don't need Jesus. Think about it. What will Jesus do in your life? He's a savior. Savior. We have not preached the gospel. The gospel says, come as you are. We go and tell them, drop this, Jesus will accept you. Is that how you are accepted? Remember, that's not the gospel. The gospel is, come as you are. So I told the guy, I said, Pastor, will I have to stop smoking? I said, no. You and your smoke. Jesus will save you, plus the smoke. It's not good that you are smelling like a chimney, but still come. I said, are you sure? I said, do you believe? I shared the gospel with him. 2 weeks after I saw him, he said, Pastor, I understand. I said, what do you understand? He said, I can't smoke again. So I can't smoke again. Now imagine me telling him, brother, Kola, this you're smoking. Jesus is hungry. Do you know Jesus is not hungry? I didn't smoke. I know some of you will not believe. You are looking at me. Jesus is angry with every smoker. No, he's not. In religion, that's what we think. I told you the testimony I had years ago when I was on campus. And I never forgot the experience. I was going up to my room. I think it was 96 or so. In University of Ibadan, below. And as I was climbing up the staircase, I saw two called guys. Heavily, when I say heavily smoking, as you are passing by, there's a cloud. And I'm just thinking, and I don't smoke. Even when I was in the world, I never smoked, I never drank. So, and you unconsciously you become one of those Pharisees if you're not careful. So I go, oh, they're smoking. What's all this? And God waited for me to pass by them. He just whispered, if they know what you know, they will do better than you're doing. I became very humble. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, if they know what you know, they will do better than you're doing. There are some of them that are smoking now on the road. If they get turned on to God, the kind of commitment they will have will surpass many of us. It's because they don't know. They know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. It's our job to make them know. Hallelujah. That's why we need to preach the gospel. But I'm trying to say that we can think what is not in line with the truth, but appeals to our own moral virtue. God is not moral. God is truth. That's the difference. God is not just moral. God is actually what? Truth. He's a yardstick for truth. He says, come as you are. How do you get people to get off addictions? Tell them to put the right words upon their lips. There's no addiction that is stronger than God's word. I can get people free of cocaine. The reason why they're doing cocaine, they've not met Jesus. When they meet Jesus, he's the most high. You can't get higher than that. You smoke Jesus once, forever, you are high. You remain high. Don't take things from people if you're not ready to give them something better. I'm not against your cocaine. I'm only saying it's inferior. There's something better. You sniff Jesus once. You don't come down. you know, if you never come down, you know, after the cocaine wears off, you are back again looking for the next fix. Jesus is a permanent fix. Look at what happens to you when you are worshiping God. How many of you wish Jesus will come back then? Every time you worship deep, you notice what happens in the atmosphere. You feel like your spirit will escape your body. That's the kind of high we have. You can't even describe the joy. You want to dance it, you want to shout it, you want to sing it, and it's still not sufficient. What does that tell you? There's a permanent high in Christ Jesus. There is. We just need to speak right. If we can teach people the truth and experience God's power, that's why we have meetings where there's a demonstration. We don't just teach. There has to be demonstration. The gospel is not meant to just be taught. It ought to be demonstrated. You know, this all night, people were healed. How many people were healed this all night? Look at how many hands. In the all night. An instruction came. Somebody came out and sang as it was led. As it was singing, the Holy Ghost said, tell everybody that has waist pain to come out now and dance. And that was the end. Who can do that? Only God is the Most High. There's no medicine that can do that. What does the singing have to do with being healed? Only God understands. Why? If there's a demonstration, the people's confidence is restored in the ability of God. Hallelujah. Religion tells you God will walk, but he's slow. The truth tells you God has already walked. And you can receive from the workings now. Lift up your hands and thank him this morning. His word is to be praised. His word is to be praised. His word is to be praised. His work is to be praised. Well, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift up your hands one more time and thank him. He is worthy to be praised. Father, we glorify your name. We exalt you. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We exalt you this morning. We thank you for your word that has come. For the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a good everything. The blessings of God, they make me rich. There's no sorrow in me. In the name of Jesus, the presence of God in my heart produces joy continuously. I declare that my paths are filled with light. I walk in line with God's will and purpose. The Spirit of God makes me wise. I have wisdom more than my colleagues. In the name of Jesus, promotion is manifest in all that I do. The grace of God and the favor of God is working out in my life. Everywhere I turn, I receive divine direction. I receive divine assistance. I know what to do and when to do it. I know where to go and how to get there. My God supplies all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God quickens my mortal body. Sickness cannot dwell in me. I walk in divine health all the days of my life. Life flows through my body. In the name of Jesus, I'm making supernatural progress. All things are working together for my good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Now we just declare God's word for just a few seconds. But if you will flow with God's Spirit, it will never allow condemnation to come out of your lips. All you'll be hearing is what Jesus has done for you. I've been down too. And the temptation comes to be down sometimes. I resist it. How do I do that? I start confessing with my mouth. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. For greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my faith. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Something happens on the inside. My spirit starts doing backflips and somersaults. And then my mind begins to agree. That's who I am. That's who I'm not who I'm planning to be. That's who I am. When we say confess, brothers and sisters, please understand, we're not saying psych. It's not the same thing as psych. Psych is trying to be who you are not. Confession is saying who you really are. I am not a sinner. Listen, sleeping in the garage doesn't make me a car. Don't forget, it doesn't make me a car. I'm simply saying who I am. That's who I am. It doesn't matter the job I do. If they sack me today, they sack. You can sack me from a job. You can't sack me from my work. You understand? I can lose a job, but I can't lose my work. My work was given to me by God. My work will prosper. You finished from a school, they gave you third class. You may even have been stupid. You may not have been wise. Maybe you didn't study where you ought to study. But that they gave you third class from a school, that's not a statement of who you are. If you hear what Jesus said, we thought Solomon was the greatest. Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. It means inside of Jesus is more wisdom than Solomon. There's more wisdom. Even in natural people make mistakes. Haven't you heard? In University of Ibadan, yeah, Professor Wole Soyinka was giving third class. He went to Leeds University and got first class. You can't do masters in literature in UK and not study Wole Soyinka. You can't. Now, what if he had stayed there? Men's assessments can be wrong, but God can't miss it. God said, you are my righteousness. You are my workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ unto every good work. That's who you are. The failure is not who you are. The sickness is not who you are. The loss is not who you are. Who you are is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you ought to be saying. You don't get your testimony from your work. You get it from God's word, then it affects your work. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Lift up your hand one more time and thank him. And say, Father, no. I take new steps, new strides of faith. I am bold now. I will walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. I will enjoy all of your provisions in Christ Jesus. I will never be down again. Another day in my life. I'm ready in the Most High. I will remain high forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Amen. Father, we give you praise and glory. Hallelujah.